Welcome to Lead and Lift with Shabadeh Jaglal Ramnath, the podcast where we work with high-achieving moms in leadership on their communication and confidence. Now our host, Shabadeh.
Welcome back to another episode of Lead and Lift. I'm your host, Shabadeh Jaglal Ramnath. My special guest today is Michael J. Pope. Michael is an international keynote speaker, a leadership coach, and an executive director with Maxwell Leadership. He is known as the hesitation breaker because he helps high achievers overcome doubt and step boldly into action through his signature process called the Doer Framework. Michael and I are both members of the John Maxwell community. Michael, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Shabadeh, thanks so much for inviting me to the show. I love the title of your show. I'm happy to be here.
And Michael, I just love your framework and I can't wait for us to hop into it because that is my thing. So anyways, I would love to know, for you to choose leadership and to go down this path and to becoming a master on the path of leadership, what was that moment when you fell in love with leadership?
Great question. So for me, growing up, I never saw myself as a leader. I'm a natural introvert. I grew up with a low self-image. And whenever people would ask me to lead or do something related to leadership, I always declined it. Because like I said, I never saw myself as a leader because growing up, I thought leadership was all about having a title. And so I grew up around some very hardworking, honest people, Shabadeh, but I never saw them as leaders, right? I said, okay, this person's a hard worker, employee type of thing, but I never would have given them the title of leadership until I read my first leadership book by John Maxwell. It was Developing a Leader Within You. It was his 1.0 version, the original version. And in that book, John Maxwell said that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And he went on and let me know that right where I'm at, I could be a leader. And then I started evaluating my entire life of the different examples and seeing, okay, oh, that was a leadership moment. That was a leadership moment. And that really got me intrigued into it.
Oh, Michael, I love how you tie in that you were there in leadership, but you didn't know because you thought it was a title. And then you read John's book and you realized you were already a leader. It's amazing because I also was inspired by reading John's books. And I realized that I was a leader in every place, including as a mom with my kids. Because I influence them to eat certain things, to clean up, and you may not think that you are a leader by doing those things, but you are influencing and inspiring other people. So you are a leader already. That's a beautiful story, Michael. So I'm excited, and I know that my listeners also want to know, can you share a bit more about the Doer framework?
Absolutely. I love my Doer acrostic there that I have. And so I'll just break it down for everyone. So D in Doer stands for discipline. And discipline is the start of it, right? So discipline is doing a prescribed activity no matter what, even and especially when it's difficult. And so I think with any type of, if your goal is to win today or succeed at anything, it's going to start with some type of discipline. And typically when I talk about discipline, I talk more about self-discipline. You know, John Maxwell says that the hardest person we ever have to lead is ourselves. So that starts with self-discipline. So that's the D, discipline. The O in Doer stands
for... So Michael, before you hop onto the O, the discipline, I find it's a challenge because sometimes you don't feel like doing the thing, right? It's a Monday morning, it's early, you got things to do. And it's like, I don't feel like it. I'm still getting over the weekend. But you talk about discipline. That's a hard one to start a framework with.
It is, right? Because a lot of people want to look for inspiration or motivation. And successful people realize that it doesn't matter whether you're motivated or you feel inspired, right? It's like when you discipline yourself, you do it no matter what. And it's something you've got to intentionally do. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes you have to fight through fear, physical pain, tiredness, and all that. But if you're going to discipline yourself, you do it anyway.
I love that. I love that. Okay, sorry. So I'm just excited about this framework. So what's the O?
So O stands for one thing. And so this is, like Gary Keller says it best. He says, you can do everything, but you can't do anything. I can't remember. I have to remember what that quote is. But essentially, in his book, The One Thing, what he talks about is, right, there's lots of things that we're capable of doing. However, we can't do them all at one time, right? So you've got to focus on the one thing that matters most. And so when it comes to being more productive, or really like talk about like winning your day or leading your day well, you got to figure out, okay, what is that one most important thing that I need to do? Like if I do this one thing today, then I can know that when I go to bed at night, I've won my day. I've had a successful day, or I've had a successful project because I accomplished this one thing. And that's what it's all about. Because a lot of times, especially high achievers, and I work with a lot of high achievers, we have huge to-do lists, right? We're like, okay, I can do this, I can do that, I can do that. And a lot of times we're really good at all those different things. However, because of that fact, a lot of times we're not completing items, or really not doing items at the level they should be, because we're focused on too much. So the one thing philosophy is just focus on that one thing that matters most at that moment. Get it done, and then you can move on to the next thing.
And Michael, I love that one thing, and I love that that's a part of your framework, because when you sit with one focused task and you put your time and energy into that, you get it done with all the other distractions. And then you feel really great about getting that thing done because that was your big needle moving thing for the day. It actually gives you the momentum and the energy to continue with all the other things you have. And some of those other things might be administrative things that we don't really like to do, but knowing that you got that one major needle moving thing done, it really gives you that boost to go knock out those other things that maybe you don't like so much.
Absolutely, right? And you get that win underneath your belt already. You can do it, start it early. Absolutely.
Love that. So the D is the discipline, the O is the one thing, E.
E stands for eliminate excuses. And this one was really big for me, Shabadeh. So in 1997, when I entered the corporate world, I remember that's when people were asking me to take leadership roles at my company. They were asking me to lead other projects, and I used to make all types of excuses. And like I said, I had low self-image, but I remember running into a mentor, a gentleman by the name of Percy. And I asked him, I said, Percy, how are you able to be so confident, have so much charisma with dealing with people? What's your secret? And he looked at me, he said, Michael, if I loan you a book, will you read it? And at the time, Shabadeh, I was not a reader. Like I had just graduated college, and I kind of skimmed my way through college, because I'm a computer science major, so I didn't have to read books from cover to cover. And I remember he handed me the book, and I looked at it, and I was like, and I put it on the shelf. It went on my someday shelf. But fortunate for me, he's a great mentor, and he called me back up like 2 weeks later, and he was like, Michael, how's that book going? And I gave him all types of excuses, and he said, hey, you think maybe you can handle one chapter? I said, sure, I can handle one chapter. So he told me to go grab the book. So I grabbed the book, and I keep the book close to me always. So it was this book here, The Magic of Thinking Big. And he said, turn to chapter two. And so I did that. Chapter two says, cure yourself of excusitis, the failure disease. And I read through that chapter and then eventually read through the whole book. But what I realized in that chapter was, looking back on my life, every quote unquote failure in my life was a direct result of the excuses I've been making. So I had to start learning from that moment to do my best to eliminate excuses. So instead of me saying I can't do something or making reasons why I can't, I started focusing on reasons why I can, reasons why I should, right? So that's changing my mindset of, okay, like if it was possible, what would I do? How would I do that? And it just changed my mindset and helped me to start looking for solutions versus focusing just on the problems.
Michael, that's beautiful. And I also majored in computer science.
All right.
And when I left school and got a job, it's like you're done with reading and writing essays and doing all of that, right? You're in the corporate space now. You got to make some money, right? Move up the chain. And reading was not on my list of things to do also. So I love that you said you were inspired by a mentor who gave you that book and started you on that path of growth. Because I was fortunate also to also have a mentor who referred me to one of John Maxwell's books. And that's what got me on my path to growth. But I want to talk about this excuses, because it is so easy to make an excuse. And I think it becomes a habit from, you know, we don't know when it started in our childhood, but they, like, it just comes out without you even knowing that you made an excuse. And I've heard it being termed as a victim mentality. You have that mindset where it's not about you, it's an excuse with everybody else. But once you're a high performer and you're on that path to growing and learning, you adopt a growth mindset where you look at, like you said, the mindset shift or the different perspective on, hey, this thing is blocking me from achieving the thing that I want. How do I overcome that? I go through it, over it, under it, you know, sideways. How do I overcome this? And you start looking at things with problems to solve and finding solutions instead of them being roadblocks. So I love that you talk about that excuses, because even as entrepreneurs, we got tons of excuses for everything, right?
Yes.
We solve people's problems, but we're full of excuses too. And it's amazing how you hear it as soon as you start the conversation. As a coach, like, I hear it all the time and I start making notes and then I share it with the client, because you hear the same excuse over and over. And that's now a blind spot for them. So it's like bringing that back to them. Do you know you always say this thing in the exact same way when you're asked something? So let's explore that a little bit. But I love that that's part of your framework, because I might have even said that should have been the first one. But I know the framework doesn't start with an E.
Yeah, exactly right. But you're right, right? You got to limit those excuses.
Yeah. So, Michael, the last part of the framework is the R.
Yes. So just to back up about the E real quick. So in my book, Doers Win the Day, I talk about that. What happens when you are making those excuses? So you lose control, you stay stuck, and you damage trust in a lot of ways. And that trust is huge. But yeah, but I'll talk more about that in the book. But as far as R, so R is all about responsibility. And when I think responsibility, I talk more about personal responsibility, right? We're in control. And we have personal responsibility for our attitude and our actions. And Shabbaday, those are two things that we have complete control over, right? I always can control how I think, how I respond to certain things. That's my attitude. And then I can control my actions, meaning what I do with my time and energy. And we have complete control over that. And when you realize you have control over those, no one else controls your destiny, right? I can choose to grow. John Maxwell says growth is the only guarantee that tomorrow can get better, right? So I can choose to grow every single day. I can choose to take action towards my goals. No one can hold me back. And it just frees you up to really break free from that hesitation and continue to move forward.
And Michael, that responsibility, I love that it's you deal with the excuses first and then the responsibility, because a lot of times I've realized people make the excuses because they don't want the responsibility or the ownership of the work or, you know, the task ahead of them. So they make excuses to pass it off to somebody else, or they don't want to own that they messed it up or they dropped the ball on it. So they blame, you know, the vendor or the neighbor or something like that. So responsibility is so huge. And as you talked about the attitude, and you take in charge of your habits, your growth, your attitude, it reminds me of self-leadership. You know, you talked about being a leader, but I believe before we can lead anybody else, including our children and, you know, members in society, members in our team, we've got to lead ourselves first, because a lot of times the people around us, they mimic our behaviors. So if we want people to take ownership and responsibility and do their work, we got to check ourselves and see the excuses we're making for ourselves.
Yes.
So Michael, when we talk about self-leadership, can you share an example of what that means and how does that show up in everyday life?
Yeah, so I'm really big about winning the day. And that comes down to self-leadership, right? So I have to be able to lead myself every single day to accomplish something, whatever winning looks like for me. I think winning looks different for everyone, but you have to have an idea of what that looks like for you. And when it comes to leading myself, it's all about me setting proper goals that for how I want to win. And so for me, I always do my best to start my morning off with a quick win. So a quick win could be just making up my bed, right? Just something simple. Hey, I've done this. A quick win could be reading my affirmations or reading through my goal list for the day or my to-do list or whatever I'm doing. But little things like that where that I am in complete control over how I win and how I lead. And then it just comes down to any decision that I make, thinking about how does that this decision affect other people, right? If I say yes to this, what does that do to other things? If I say no to this, what does that do to other things? And just taking that personal responsibility is important to lead yourself.
And Michael, that is beautiful because if we just roll out of bed and log into the computer, right? It's like, how are you actually showing up there, right? You're tired. You haven't got your brain working yet. Your brain's probably still sleeping, right? If you just roll it out of bed, log it into the computer, and then you go in a meeting and you're snapping at the people. You can't focus because you haven't had your morning coffee yet. And that's why high performers have a morning routine. Because just like everybody else, they also, when they wake up, they're like stumbling around the house. You need to get yourself into that mode. And I love that you talk about doing things early, like making up the bed, having a little morning routine where you get wins. Some people journal. Some people read scriptures to fill yourself up with something positive. Listen to a mentor or a coach or a podcast. Fill yourself up with something positive. Have a plan for your day, like you talked about that one thing. What is my big one thing I need to do today? When is it scheduled? What do I need to do? And I love scheduling things because if it's not in my calendar, I don't do it. And if I see it and it has a time in the day, I give that focus time and I get it done. And I find when you have clarity like that to start the day, you can win the day. And if you start the day by rolling out of bed and logging in, it's like all of a sudden, emails come hitting at you, people's problems come hitting at you, and you haven't really set yourself up to win that day. So you end up losing the day. And you're like, oh, well, before you know it, Friday is upon you. Quarter end is there. Year end is there. And you're like, oh, I didn't make any progress this year. I'll try harder next year.
Exactly. All right. There's probably people who have already mentally turned off this year. They're like, okay, 2025, I didn't accomplish my goal. They're already thinking about 2026 or whatever versus finishing the year strong because they don't have that mindset you just talked about, Shabade. Yeah.
And Michael, I love that because you're 100% correct. A lot of people is like, well, you know what? I can't do anything else. The year is done. We have all the parties coming up, all the events. I'll make a good New Year resolution and I'll start over on January 1st. But I guess as high achiever, what we're saying with Michael's framework and what we're both saying here today is you can start today and it starts with one thing. Like Michael was saying in his DOA framework, and the discipline to schedule the time in your calendar to do that one thing so that you can get that done. And guess what, Michael, when you start doing these one things and having these wins every day, it stacks up. Yes. Your brain tells you, hey, you said you were going to do that thing and you did it and you feel good. You're not nagging yourself like, girl, you said you would do that thing a month ago and it's not done, because your brain keeps tabs on you.
Yeah, versus you saying, okay, I won this day, I won that day, I won that day, right? You win every single day, then you win the week, then you win the month, and you're just able to look back on the past and see all these different successes, all these different wins that you've accomplished because you follow through. And you build trust in yourself too, because you know that you're a person of your word because, hey, I said I'm going to do this, I did it. I celebrated the fact that I did it, and you start believing your words a lot more.
Michael, that is beautiful because you said John Maxwell taught us that the most difficult person to lead is you. So when you start setting yourself up to do something and actually do it and you win, you believe more in yourself, but you also grow your confidence in yourself. And that just gives you that momentum and motivation to move forward, and it propels you forward. And it's one of the secrets why high performers and high achievers win consistently over the long term, because they show up each day and they do that little bit. You know, John Maxwell has a saying for that. I think it's the power of five or something, where you show up, you do the one thing, and then the next day you show up, you keep doing it, and eventually you're going to win overall. And people are going to say, you're an overnight success. But they didn't see the years of you showing up and doing the one thing every single day.
Consistently, right? Like John said, the law of consistency, right? Doing it over and over.
Love that. So, Michael, your framework is beautiful. It has some challenging things, you know? It takes a while to build the discipline, because that's switching your habits. The excuses, man, you gotta catch yourself every time you say the excuses. And having that awareness of it helps you. The minute it slips out your mouth, you're like, oh, shoot, that's an excuse. I need to actually do this, right?
Yeah, the response.
Yeah, the responsibility, where you need to own it. This is my life. I am responsible for the growth and the success that I have, and I'm responsible to change that, no one else. Those are big, big things. So which part of this framework do you say clients that you've worked with, they struggle with the most?
I think probably the eliminating the excuses. Because I think a lot of us, we naturally think an excuse when someone says, can you do something, like, the reasons why you can't pop up first a lot of times, and you've got to like filter through that noise. And what I've learned is, if you reframe it, right? So if someone says, hey, can you do this? If my natural instinct is to make an excuse about it, then I have to stop, ask myself, okay, what are some reasons why I can do this, or why I would be the perfect person for this? Or, right, so to start thinking through those positive solutions, it helps.
So I love that. So it's activating the pause before you react, so that you give yourself to work through the noise and the excuses in your head before you blurt the excuse out your mouth. So you're able to catch it before you actually say it.
Absolutely. And having a background in software development, that became easier for me, because, you know, like if they give you a project, hey, this is the problem that needs to be solved. Then as a software developer, I know, okay, there's a solution. We just got to figure out what that solution is. And so I know how to break those steps down, right?
And as you're saying that, Michael, I'm thinking, if it's this, then it's that. If it's then it's that, right? And then what's the outcome? Because you're going through all the possible solutions in your head.
Yep.
So, Michael, it's a beautiful framework.
Thank you.
Now, for you to create this, there must have been a time in your life when you struggled. And then you realize that, you know what, for me to break through my struggle and turn that into success, I had to do these things. And that's how you crafted this framework to switch your clients from, you know, the struggle into success. What was that hesitation or that point in your life when you struggled and then you created the Doer framework, and after that you've achieved success?
Yeah, so a big moment of, I've had lots of moments of hesitation, which is why I talk so much about it now, because I've learned how to break free from it. But one big moment that comes to mind for me was in 1994. I was sitting on the front row of my Grandpa Joe's funeral, and they had a moment where they had an open invitation where people came up and shared remarks about how my Grandpa Joe had impacted their lives. And as I sat there, Shabaday, tears in my eyes, thinking about how my Grandpa Joe had impacted me, one of my relatives asked me if I was going to go up and speak about Grandpa Joe. And I wanted to. I really did. I mean, I had stories, because he was a father figure for me when I really needed one. And I wanted to get up, but I allowed hesitation to keep me in my seat. And years passed by, and that regret stayed with me for a long time. Because it was I mean, I blame it on, fear of public speaking, but it really wasn't fear of public speaking because I was would have been talking in front of friends and family, right? So that's a different scenario. But really what it was is I was focused on myself of, how am I going to sound? And, what if I make a mistake, right? So all excuses on myself, and that hesitation held me back. And like I said, I regretted it. And so once I overcame my fear of public speaking and I started speaking more, I would always think back to my Grandpa Joe's, that lesson of when I hesitated. And I said, no, I've got to be a doer. I've got to be a doer. And so that really got me into that mode of looking for opportunities to do, to do, to do, and be known for someone who's always doing.
Michael, that's a beautiful story
Thank you.
of regret and hesitation and excuses that we make. And because you hesitated, you would never have that moment ever in life again. And that now becomes a regret. And that could have been a burden and held you back, but instead you use that to propel you forward and switch into becoming a doer. And help other people become doers so they don't have a moment of hesitation and regret. Thank you for doing that, Michael.
You're welcome. And a lot of people don't realize this, but hesitation costs companies a lot of money as well. Because there's employees that are sitting there that have amazing ideas, right? Ideas that could create the company thousands, if not millions of dollars, but hesitation stops them from raising their hand and say, hey, I have an idea, or sharing that information for fear of someone ridiculing them or not accepting their idea, right? All those little stories that we tell ourselves, those are like part of that emotion of hesitation, and we've got to break through that.
Yeah, and Michael, those are stories we tell ourselves. You're talking about ideas for company. What about an idea to make your life better?
Yeah,
Right?
absolutely.
If you're in a situation you don't like, listen, everything got expensive. Everybody needs more money. And if you sit in a situation where you're unhappy and you know you have ideas, you could then put those ideas into action and learn the skills to execute on those ideas to make a better future for yourself and your family. Like, you need to become a doer and do it for you, not for anybody else.
Absolutely. Like I've hired a lot of coaches for that very reason, because I knew that I needed help and that I needed to, that I owed it to the world for me to break free from whatever hesitation was holding me back from accomplishing my personal goals to help other people.
And Michael, that is such an amazing thing that you did because a lot of times we think we can figure it out by ourselves. But listen, what I learned the hard way is if I could have figured it out all by myself, I would have done it already. But
Yes.
chances are I can't because I have blind spots, I have these hesitations, and investing with a coach is one of the most important things that I've done for my own growth and development. And similarly, Michael, it's what has given you the breakthrough faster than if you had tried to solve it on your own. Because a lot of times you're just executing on your same habits and you're
Yes.
getting the same results and you're wondering, well, why aren't I moving forward?
Yes. And the rule is, like, if it takes more than 15 minutes for you figuring it out yourself, you need to ask for help. Right? It's like, because you're right. It's like you're just staring at it longer isn't going to make it, magically appear or whatever. It's like, ask for help, research or something, right? At least look for the help.
Yeah, Michael, that's a high performance tip. It's like, yeah, I can't figure this out. I need somebody to walk me through this. Who do I know that I can call and ask for help? And every week, you should be having a list of things you ask someone to help you with because maybe you haven't developed that skill yet. And because Michael and I are on a path to growth, we're always growing. There's always things we don't know because we're learning that skill. So having access to a community, to coaches that we can call on or we can ask really helps fast track. And I really recommend that for you too. That if there are things you want to learn and grow, listen, nobody knows everything, but somebody in your community or in your network is already doing the thing you want to do, and they may be able to help you move faster. Michael, I love that you have this framework and you've expanded it out in a book, Doers Win the Day. And I know you have an amazing gift for our audience today. We get a free chapter.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys get a free chapter of the book, Doers Win the Day. Plus, there's a bonus. There's a couple bonus chapters that I give as well. One of the things at the end is an affirmation that I use. It's called, I'm a doer, I win the day. And it's like, I'll give you a brief part of it. I am a doer. I don't wait for perfect. I take purposeful action. I rise with discipline, focused on what matters most. I choose one thing and give it my best. I silence distraction and excuses. And it goes on, but there's an affirmation you get as well with that free chapter.
Oh, Michael, that sounds incredible. That sounds like something you need to print out and stick and read before you start your day. Like, that needs to be part of your morning routine. So you remind yourself that you are a doer. So when those moments of excuses and I don't feel like doing the task right now show up, because it shows up for everybody, you're able to remind yourself who you are, what is your higher purpose and your higher goal, and to move forward and execute. Michael, what's one way for the audience to connect with you?
I'm very active on LinkedIn, so you can find me at Michael J. Pope Jr. on LinkedIn or really any social media platform.
Perfect. And Michael, we will add all those links and the link to the free chapter of the book in the show notes. Michael, you've shared a beautiful doer framework with us today. You've shared what inspired you and your story of overcoming the hesitation and the excuses and turning that now through your framework into success for you and your clients. Any final words of wisdom to share with us?
Yeah, I just want to encourage your listeners to break free from whatever hesitation has been holding you back from your success. The world is waiting for you to win.
Love that. Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for another Lead and Lift episode. And remember, you have the ability to lead and lift others on your journey.
Thank you for listening to Lead and Lift with Shabade Jagwal Ramna. Make sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss another episode. You can find our guests' contact information in the show notes. We have resources to improve your leadership, your communication, and your confidence at leadandlift.com. We invite you to go check those out. Stay tuned for the next episode.